Tonight we're turning in our Bibles to Hosea chapter 4, the book right after Daniel. My computer has a mind of its own. It's a small font. Hosea chapter 4, we want to read one verse. Verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children. Let's again look to the Lord. Our Father, we thank you again for the joy of being in your house, being amongst the saints of God, the Most High God. What a precious thought it is to know that our fellowship with one another and with you will never end. For the ages of eternity that will never end. And we thank you for this precious word that we're going to take a brief glimpse in tonight. We'll have all eternity to explore its depths. What a marvelous mind is represented here in this word, the mind of God, the word of God. So we do thank you, and again we do lift up these that have been mentioned on the prayer list, and we thank you for the power of prayer, that the witness of prayer, so many prayers being answered, and we know that you hear our prayers. We do pray that you'll encourage those who are laid aside or not able to be here. We pray it all in our Savior's name. Amen. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also will forget thy children. We learned many years ago that all education is religious. Non-religious education doesn't exist. All education is religious. And there are only two educations. There's the true education, and then there's the false education. There are only two religions, only two in the world, the true religion and the false religion. True wisdom and true knowledge comes from God. And every false wisdom and knowledge, it comes from a world of the kind that we live in, this world that is beneath. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. And these days, If these days are like the days of Noah, and they are, then we learn of the earth's conditions in those days in Genesis in chapter 6. The earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth. He looks upon it today. And behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So James also in his epistle tells us about these two wisdom, a wisdom that descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish, meaning that it's of a lower bestial. That's what that word sensual means. It's a wisdom that is brutal and cruel in nature, sensual, devilish. And this exactly is the wisdom indoctrination, and I've been thinking of this a little bit, of the public schools, and I call them public school prisons. This is the wisdom and the indoctrination of the public school prisons. All the way from preschool to postgraduate. It's powerful. They don't miss a beat. From preschool to postgraduate. And so the wisdom of this world and its occupants, in the highest levels of academia, in God's eyes, are sensual, devilish, corrupt. They know nothing but strife and envy and confusion and every evil work. Now, they know also how to put on a nice facade. It reminds me of the Lord Jesus when he encountered the academia of his day. They were all gathered there. It was a public gathering, the lawyers, the scribes, the Pharisees. And the Lord Jesus excoriated them publicly, saying, "Woe unto you lawyers! You've taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered." That is the description of the public school prisons in a nutshell. And even the minds of children of Christian parents, in many cases, are being locked up like prisoners. You don't need to think for yourselves. We will do your thinking for you. James said the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And there you have the two types of wisdom. And knowledge and education. One is from the earth, which, by the way, has the curse of God on it. And it's a religion, strangely enough, that has many varieties, many names, many shades to it. But the one common denominator of all the varieties is that they're all from the same origin. They all come from the same source. And that source is the mind of Satan. As we've learned in this church in the past, true education is the acquisition of true knowledge and true facts. America's need is to claim independence, which we just celebrated in this past week, our independence, America's independence. But America needs to claim another independence, and that's the one from the public school prisons. And these schools are beginning to be like China and Iran and North Korea. Prisons of indoctrination in the religion of the state. They're destroying the future of this country, one child at a time. And by the way, it's been going on for several generations now. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected me, you've rejected knowledge, I'm going to reject you." That's not a good thing to hear God say about any people. especially his people. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children. That's what's happening. God has forgotten the children of this country, the children that are in the public school prisons. You know, I, like you, like many of you, have had the good fortune in my life, since I've been saved, to sit under the teachings of some great Bible teachers. What a blessing that's been. One of the first ones that I can remember when I became a Christian was a Jewish Christian. He was a Jew, but he had been saved. His name was Mickey Goldstein. He taught the Bible and he preached at the church that I was saved in when I was living in Western North Carolina. And he could really make the Bible come alive. As a brand new Christian, I sat there and it was amazing. He just had this personality about him that he could just make it like you were there. It gave you the sense that you were right there in the Bible, in the Bible times. In those days, we listened regularly to the live broadcasts on the radio of Oliver B. Green. He was an evangelist. And Oliver B. Green was widely, widely heard through his broadcast called The Gospel Hour. He conducted revival meetings in tents and churches all across eastern United States. I can still, in my mind, hear both of those men who began to help me by feeding my mind and my heart with the understanding of the Bible. I've read the books of many Bible teachers who greatly influenced me to go even deeper into God's Word. Men like C.H. McIntosh, and more recently, men like Henry Morris. And there's so many others. Men like Bruno Alcime, a very humble man who God used in such a unique way. It's amazing how God used that man. Pastor Kelly met Bruno in Jamaica, I think it was. He was attending some kind of a missionary event, and he met Bruno Alcime, and he encouraged him to start a Christian school. And Bruno did that. In fact, he started several of them. He had a great work in Haiti. He was immensely respected. Immensely respected. In parts near and wide. He had widows living in his house. He and his wife, and they ministered to widows. They took in widows. Haiti being the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Another great preacher that had a great influence on my life was the pastor Weldon Jones. He was a missionary. He preached here one Sunday night, and I told Weldon after he preached, I don't think either one of us had eaten that afternoon, the evening. I said, Weldon, there's a Mexican restaurant just two blocks down the street. I don't think they're closed quite yet. Let's go down there and eat. And so we went down there, and sure enough, they were about to close. I think there was one more customer in there, but they let us in. I knew the owner and some of the people that worked there. So they sat us down and we ordered. And a few A few waiters or something came by, and Weldon, as his nature was, started engaging them, and they were shocked that his Spanish was such perfect. And so that customer went out and they locked the door. And so they were starting to do their duties to close, but we were sitting there, and so some other people came over. When they sort of overheard that conversation, and Weldon was telling them about the work in Mexico. He's witnessing to them. And pretty soon, before long, the owner and everybody was around that table. They just couldn't believe to hear. You know, Weldon told me one time that I don't understand. He thought in Mexico. He thought in Mexican. He thought in Mexican. I think he lived more of his life in Mexico than he did in Florida, which is where he was from. He spent his whole life there. He's buried there in Mexico. And I was so glad to know that man. Men like Pastor Kelly, very gifted Bible teacher. He led God's people on many fronts. There's Dan Carr. What an amazing memory Dan Carr has. In his late 80s, he can remember the smallest minute details of when he was 5 and 6 years old, people's names, where he went, why they were there. He just had a little newsletter, and it had a picture of him, or his morning minute, and it had a little picture of him and he was with his father, standing beside his father at his father's wood shop where they built things. And so Dan was talking about those days, and he said, "I don't know who took this picture, but I know it wasn't my mother, because she would have straightened up my shirt. His shirt was unbuttoned and it was kind of wrinkled." He's amazing. Mr. Creech is a deep, consistent Bible teacher. 50 years. 50 years running this school. Pastor Garrison is an excellent, excellent Bible teacher. Gary Webb is an excellent Bible teacher. And there's others too. I'm just mentioning people that have been an influence on me to want to go deeper into God's Word. Lester Roloff. Well, how could you not appreciate hearing him preach and sing? Dr. Ron Beatty. I love all of these men. And they either are or have been great servants used of God over the years. Another one is David Cloud, who influenced my life just like these other men have. And may I say, women too. Women are humble servants in the ministry of God. What's odd to me about David Cloud is the depth and the voluminous research and writing on books and encyclopedias, and just, I can't keep up with them. He puts them out so fast. That's the thing that astounds me, his research. I first knew about him 37 years ago. I think there was a little publication, and back in those days we had to get everything by snail's mail. There's a little publication called the Calvary Contender, Jeffrey Huffman. I think he might have mentioned that, so I thought, well, I'll see if I can get this little newsletter. And it was small, it was 2 or 3 pages, and it was called O Timothy. And now, the O Timothy newsletter is now a full monthly magazine. Brother Crowell has been accused of being a Pharisee and a hypocrite. He's accused of being critical of others in his writings. And a lot of times he will respond and to try to engage the person's mind, but they're not, they're just brute, you know, throwing out whatever will they hope will stick. That's about their level of, you know, engaging in a subject. What about Jesus Christ? What about him? Did he ever criticize and condemn any of the false religious leaders or their doctrines publicly in his day? The false religious leaders and their doctrines were corrupting the society of that time. What about the old prophets like Hosea? Speaking under the inspiration of God, did they ever do the same thing? You know, in the Bible Institute, which we're running this summer, we're going through this video series about the satanic attack upon sacred music. This week coming up, it's about Lancaster, one of the largest churches in America, and about West Coast Bible College. I believe that the contemporary music issue has almost single-handedly, and corrupt Bible versions, you got to lump those right in there with it, but it's almost single-handedly destroyed and ruined more ministries than will ever be known. Churches, sound, independent, fundamental churches, ruined. They're gone. They don't exist anymore. And institutions of learning, Christian learning. I've even heard from, I used to, when I taught in a school many years ago, I went to a few conventions, education conventions in Myrtle Beach or Greensboro. And we've been to other events. And I've heard people, even from our church, since I've been to those, attending some of these different major religious events and conventions, and by people putting on, being put on by people who were sound in the faith. And they came back and said, we had to, when they put the music on, we had to get up and walk out. That's how offensive it was. And when the music was over, then they would come back in and engage in the convention. The past film we saw, David Cloud mentioned about Dr. Frank Garlock. In fact, in one of his publications, his magazines, he paid tribute to Dr. Frank Garlock. Paid a long tribute to him, telling this book that he had written, and how it was just right on the point. I think one of the quotes was, "If a church even begins to use contemporary Christian music, then it will lose all of its other standards." If it only begins, Dr. Frank said. Today, Dr. Frank Garlock has flipped entirely the other way. He supports the Majesty music and the hymns where they've got the Townends and the Gettys in there. He supports that. He's supportive of that. And if you want to have your eyes open, just read about the Townends and the Gettys. And I've heard some comments about David Cloud recently. He shouts. He's a Baptist. He's asking for money. He's too critical of others. He's a Baptist, yeah. Gary Webb's a Baptist who attended Bob Jones, I think he's got a doctorate from there. And just recently from this pulpit, he said, I would not recommend Bob Jones. He shouts. I was reading about Bob Jones Sr. You know, he started preaching publicly when he was 14 years old. Dr. Bob Sr. And had a lot of people coming to hear him preach at 14. And at 16, he pastored his own church. And it grew to be a large church. And as I was reading that, Bob Jones Sr. was commonly known to do some shouting in his day. I heard in one instant he hit the pulpit so hard that it broke the pulpit. Evangelist Billy Sunday, he used to get so, you know, he was a saved baseball player, Chicago White Sox or Cubs or whatever it was, and he got saved and he walked away from it. He started learning and preaching. He picked up a chair, a wooden chair, one time during a preaching, and I don't know why, but he just, for emphasis of whatever he was preaching, he smashed that chair. But people came. He preached everywhere, Billy Sunday, all over America, all over Europe. A lot of souls got saved through his ministry. Bob Jones Sr., the same way. He asked from, I've never known in 37 years of David Cloud asking for money publicly. Now, he is a missionary. He is a missionary. And in his publications, he does provide a way to send money to his home sending church. He has a church, his home church, that sent them out, David, and he has a way that you can send money. All missionaries do that. That's how we financially supported Bruno Alcime and Weldon Jones for years. I personally have never known of a ministry, never, that gives away more materials for free. They're free. You can download books and just endless amounts of things. Turn to Second Peter chapter 2. And there we read in verse 1, there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. And then I would like for you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. And reading at verse 1. There we read, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. You know, this is so greatly needed in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Let brotherly love continue. It has to be something that starts right here in this church where God has us. And I truly believe that there is earnest brotherly love here. There is. There's a brotherly love here that's as good as I've ever seen anywhere. Praying for one another constantly. Peter also, in his epistle, says that we should all be of one mind. We should all be of one mind. If that's not possible, God would not have told us that that's what we should be. We should all be of one mind. We should all have compassion on one another. You know, we all do things wrong. We say things wrong. We make mistakes. And when we do, it's so comforting to have a fellow Christian, a person that shows compassion. Be of one mind. Have compassion one of another. I know in my lifetime I've been showed much more compassion than I deserve. And then he says, love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be pitiful. What does that mean, to be pitiful? You know, we're all sinners. We're all of the same flesh. We all have a constant struggle daily, every day, with the old nature. We need to be pitiful to one another. And we need to be long-suffering to one another. Courteous. Peter said, be courteous. And of course, when we go out into the world, we come back here, we know that we're amongst some of the most courteous people we know. But it's something that we need to keep in the forefront. Be courteous. Be pitiful. And then, along those same lines, Paul told the church at Colossae, as the elect of God, be holy. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering. That's not natural. That is not natural. For me to do that, and I'm assuming you too, I have to meditate on that. Put on bowels of mercies. Put on kindness. Humbleness of mind. Be humble in our minds. Be long-suffering. Forbearing one another. That means putting up with one another. That's something that's needed in Christian families. It's something that's needed certainly in a Christian school. Certainly in a church. Forbearing one another. Putting up with one another and forgiving one another. And then these very convicting words. If any man have a quarrel against any. If you have a quarrel with against anybody. If I have a quarrel with against anybody. Even as Christ forgave you and me, so also do ye. And then Paul goes on in the epistle to the Colossians, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. He's telling us how to live the Christian life. How to live the Christian life. We have to meditate on God's Word. You know, I read a recent study or something. It was a paper that in the New Testament, the word Christian is described one or two times. One or two times. The word believer appears about just a slightly more, maybe a half a dozen times. But over 150 times in the New Testament, the word disciple, a learner, learning from Christ, disciples, we're to be disciples of Christ. We're to be learning disciples of Christ. We always think about the youth of our church, and rightfully we should. We've been where they are. We've been there. And we know what is out there before them. We know how easy it is to get off track. And you know, even at 12 years of age, the Lord Jesus had to remind his parents, "Wist you not?" He's 12 years old. He's an example. Christ is an example. We should be trying to live like Christ. He's an example. And at 12 years old, he told his parents, who were upset with him, that he said, "I must be about my Father's business. I must be about his..." I wonder how many disciples 12 years old or any teenage years think like that. You're supposed to. You're supposed to. You know, a young person who's truly a disciple of Christ and they're in the Word. I mean, they spend time alone with God learning His Word and learning to be like Christ. They're a disciple of Christ. They can have influences and reach people in ways that like no one else could. Like some of us older folks can't. It's amazing what an influence they can be. How about you, young person? Are you truly a disciple of Christ? You know, again, I love the people in this church, and I know that the people in this church love me. This place is such a blessing. And I can't read all my print. It's too small. And I'm not even sure if I have all the pages, but those were some thoughts that were on my heart tonight. And I just hope and pray that our love continues and it abounds. And that we can truly be a united body. That's how all men shall know we're disciples, his disciples, if they are loved one for another. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this service tonight, each one who's present. And Lord, we know that we've had many, many years of fellowship one with another, laboring together. And what a joy it's been, and what things have been done for the glory of God through the willing hearts of the people of this church, those who were here before we were, and those that are here now. And Father, our prayer is that you'll just help us to follow the words that we've heard tonight, to be pitiful, to be long-suffering, to love one another fervently, with a fervent love, and to realize that we all make mistakes. We have the flesh to deal with every day. And we need the victory over that. We need it, you to give us the victory over our old nature. And we pray that you'll bless our youth. We thank you so much for the precious young people. And we pray that they might train themselves and learn how to depend upon you and to follow your leading for their lives. And we know that they have to get into the Word of God and learn straight from you. And again, we thank you for this meeting tonight. We pray and ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.